And the Lord help us to begin this morning with hymn 154. Much we talk of Jesus' blood, but how little's understood of his suffering so intense. Angels have no perfect sense. Who can rightly comprehend their beginning or their end? 'Tis to God and God alone that their weight is fully known. 154.
the holy word of God, let us read in the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 16. In the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 16. Mark 16. And when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James, and Salome had bought sweet spices, that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he saith unto them, Be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter, that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him, as he said unto you. And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. And she went and told them that had been with him, as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. After that he appeared in another form unto two of them, as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it unto the residue, neither believed they them. Afterward he appeared unto the 11, as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven, and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. Let us pray. O thou most blessed and merciful and gracious God, the Almighty God, we ask for the help and the aid of the Holy Ghost as we meet here this day and now as we draw near to thy great and glorious majesty. In Moses we read, there is none like unto the God of Jeshurun, who rideth upon the heaven in thy help, and in his excellency upon the sky. We pray that we may know thy wondrous works, even to us in our own day and generation. Well, we do pray that thou be pleased to draw near to us, worms of the earth, for we are, but worms of the earth, Lord, and beg that we may be denominated in that people, among that people, worm Jacob. And we do pray that thou wilt grant that healing touch with divine power to our needy souls. We want reality, the truth of the Son of God. Save us from all the deceitfulness of sin, the deceitfulness of our own heart, the deceitfulness that pride brings, oh, the deceitfulness that the flatterers of the enemy of souls brings. Oh, the deceitfulness of our own motives and self-will and our self-pleasing and our self-exaltation also. Save us from unbelief. Thankful that we have read of the unbelief of those as recorded. And Lord, they sinned and so do we. We're no different. We limit God. Oh, that we may not seek the living among the dead, but that we may be helped to really look to thee and trust thee, hating our own life also. Oh, to be among those disciples that truly follow thee and take up their cross daily. It is a warfare, many defeats, but an everlasting victory and a final victory promised. Oh, we plead the all-prevailing name. Ah, that name above every name. And ask thy rich, eternal and great blessing to rest upon us forevermore, that our sins, which are so many, may be forgiven us, blotted out, or be washed in thy precious blood, might be favoured to know and be surrounded with the angel of thy presence as we journey. Or we might have those shoes of iron and brass and prove the promise that as our days so will our strength be. We may be among those who overcome, or may be saved, Lord. We may come to those uttermost places and know thy mighty hand, thy delivering grace, something of the kisses of thy mouth and the everlasting love of God. Oh, to order our way safely and to fit and prepare us for such a glory. Oh, here we are in the midst of days and oh, so unprepared as we know ourselves to be, but we believe that one look from thee can make us whole, and thou dost impute according to the word the righteousness of Emmanuel to those that trust and believe. And we know the blessedness of that truth distilling, yea, sweetly flowing into our heart, bringing light and peace and inward joy and worship and self-loathing and the beginnings of love to God, and yet here we are, such of a doubting frame, overwhelmed and groaning like the apostle, I'm carnal, sold under sin. So we make our confessions to thee and entreat thee that there may be that word in season, a word from the Lord. Oh, that we might hear the shepherd's voice, that come where we are and save us, even this day and day by day. To this end we ask for the Holy Ghost to be here, Lord. Oh, that the ministry here today may be a Holy Ghost ministry. It may be the word of the Lord to one and another. Maybe that peculiar due and power and authority with the word. Both in pulpit and in pew we may and know and have the unction of the Holy One upon us. We do pray then that thy kingdom might come, be formed in our hearts the hope of glory. Oh, they said, oh, our song. It's what our nature would say too, and does say, and it did used to say too, we'll not have this man to reign over us. And so they said, in the judgment hall, we have no king but Caesar. Ah, Lord, be our king. Oh, rule over us, reign over us. We tremblingly pray it. Knowing our guilt and what judgments we deserve, yet would plead the reign of thy grace and thy tender loves and mercies to be upon us. Thou sanctify every trouble and bring us safely through all the affliction and distress and sorrow of this lower world, and bring us home to God, and fill us with thy fullness, that we may know the beginnings of that love to God which can only be known in its fullness the other side of the grave. And may we know something of it here, a real desire and longing to know thee and win thee. Oh, we do pray that thou'lt visit many. May souls be quickened, souls be brought to cry, Jesus, save me or I die. And may the careless among us and the indifferent and the formalist among us and the rebellious among us, Lord, oh, pass by their souls and say, live, and they will live. Remember the hungry, the thirsty, the poor, the condemned, who write bitter things against themselves because they know their sins against the Lord Christ, the Lord's anointed. Bless them. Sweetly confirm them in their souls they are thine. We're all in affliction, pain, troubles, distresses, who cry out for mercy, who thirst for the living God, who mourn in their houses apart, those who look alone to the mercy seat. Oh, bless. Sweetly bless in their looking. Answer the prayers for mercy and for help and for much grace and for deliverance and for forgiveness. Oh, may we plead thy name, thy all-prevailing name, in all our ruin, in all our sorrow, and while we're plagued with unbelief, may we still plead thy precious name. So visit sinners, all in the various stages of life, those evening time of life and getting toward the end of the journey. Be merciful and gracious to them, Lord, and Those in middle days, many bearing what is called the heat and burden of the day of many responsibilities. Oh, may they prove thy sufficiency. Young men and young women, oh Lord, call them each by thy grace. Write thy laws within and open their eyes. Open their hearts, and the dear young, the children, little ones in arms, we affectionately bear them to thee. Bless them. Oh, may parents be much helped in bringing them unto thee, that thou bless them and save them. Lord, we pray for them, tremblingly realizing what is coming upon the earth end so rapidly. Oh, Lord, hear prayer. Not leave Zion. But we live in an age of Antichrist, and now loosing Satan. Yea, he seems busy, more busy than ever. Ruled by Antichrist, Lord. We tremblingly realize the solemn things taking place in the earth and in our land. We especially pray, hear the prayer of the 7,000 who have not bowed the knee to Baal or worshipped or served at his altar. That prevent, Lord, if it can please thy great majesty. The overthrowing of thy creation ordinance of marrying of one man, marrying one woman. Hear prayer. Oh, overturn it. Oh, the vile abominations, and Lord, the effect in our land, alteration to our life. Mercy, we pray. Overturn it, we pray. If it could please thy great majesty. And thy ancient people Israel, fighting in self-defense, but Lord, they don't know thee. They don't know that they're in the same state of the Arabs, living in unbelief of the Blessed One. But Lord, they're under covenant to possess that land, not in an earthly kingdom sense, but rather that they will be manifest still as that people. And though they've rejected the counsel of God and the Beloved Son, as we read, if the casting away of them be salvation unto the Gentiles, what will the gathering of them be again, but life from the dead? Hasten that day, though we do ask that to be preserved in the tumults and wars and the wickedness of this apostate time in the earth, thy kingdom come. Before we close, we thank thee for so many mercies, Lord. O good God, all being good to me, being good to us each, may we each be helped humbly and truly to say from our hearts. And we do thank thee then for every blessing and mercy, and especially for a hope in the gospel. We thank thee for the seasons and the harvest and the seed time, thy faithfulness. But, oh Lord, as we would bless thee for the continuance, and it will continue, we believe, to the end of time, thy goodness in the night covenant, thy faithfulness. Oh Lord, give us eyes to see and hearts to believe and ears to hear of thy wondrous love, mercy and faithfulness in the everlasting covenant. A God who cannot lie, therefore we must venture. We daren't turn back, for God cannot lie. Thy cases be so bad, though there's so much that makes us tremble and cower in a corner. But oh, may we still venture and persist at the throne of grace and call upon the all-prevailing name and ask a blessing and help now to loose a stammerer's tongue. Could there be, Lord, that blessing attending the word today? The ministry may not be a dry breast, but may be living waters to one and another. We plead thy precious name. Oh, A pardon of all our vile being. We plead for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 560. O thou mighty God and Saviour, give us faith thy works to trace. Heavenly warrior, may we never from thee turn away our face. May we view thee standing in our wretched place. 560.
Thank you.
in complete dependence upon the help of the Holy Ghost, I ask your prayerful attention to the Gospel according to Mark chapter 16 and to verses 15 and 16. Mark 16, verses 15 and 16. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. I had two different words upon my mind yesterday. One in Revelation, one in Psalm 69. But in the evening, this solemnly impressed itself upon my mind. Also conscious that I think I preached from it here 2 years ago. So it is with some diffidence I venture, but I must follow what I hope indeed is divine intimation and command. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. The first remark I would make is that there are only two sorts of peoples in the earth in the sight of God. The righteous and the wicked. Those who humbly look to Christ and believe in him, who fear him, desire the knowledge of him. And those who see no beauty in him, that they should desire him, and may I say faithfully, yet tenderly, that being a Christian doesn't necessarily mean that we desire the knowledge of him. If I'm not horribly mistaken, that's the work of God will bring you and I to really want to be and need to be married to Christ. In the earthly marriage, which is very sweet and very lovely and a kind provision, there is a union and real love and a deeper union and a deepening love, which doesn't really know its end until the deep sorrow of death. Many people naturally happily married express it their way, the believer and the unbeliever, that the love grows, the union gets more strong. Of course, the sorrow in this world is there's a worm to every earthly blessing and every earthly happiness. Therefore, as the great head of the church, the shepherd of the sheep, leads his flock along, draws them to him, he so works in their heart and in their lives. They long to know him more and win him. And he works in their hearts and their lives that they realize in true wisdom and righteousness that he must save them and wean them from all the earthly scene, which I know is far more than nature can do, for I cannot wean myself from the earth. I'm far too earthbound and far too lost. It's the Lord's work, the Lord's work. Well, the Lord's work is that you will be led by the Holy Ghost to see such a glory and beauty. There'll be a certain revealing in measure to your soul, together with a divine instruction which is unto life everlasting, to believe alone in Him and look alone to Him and bring all and cast all upon Him who fills His Father's throne, and to trust there forever. So we see that the gospel here is to be preached to every creature. It is warning every man, teaching every man. And to preach in such a way, as the apostle did, that every man who hears may be found in Christ, accepted at last. But that's God's prerogative and God's power. But we must preach. And so now, as He is risen from the dead, and He is risen from the dead, blessed truth, you know. Oh, my friends, you who really fear Him and seek Him and long to know Him and win Him and be found in Him, your sins were buried with Him when He died. Perhaps you may feel you lack the comfort, the assurance in your soul, but the Scriptures show it. And if we be dead with Him, then shall we rise with Him. And the soul that is quickened into life is already risen out of nature's darkness and seeks the light of Him in whom you believe to be the light of the world. And the Lord will comfort His church, and He will assure His people in due time as they sow in tears and wait upon Him. So He is now risen. And now at the time, or just perhaps a few hours or before, or a few days, we don't know the exact timing of these words with this divine commission. We know clearly from Matthew, as He was about to ascend, He made that covenant promise, and lo, I am with thee alway, even unto the end of the world. Every longing soul is with them. Every confessing sinner is with them. Every sinner that abhors themselves and repents in dust and ashes, He is with them. He didn't leave Peter in his backslidings. He was with him. Oh, my friends, indeed, I don't mean in His corporal presence, because they were in eyesight of each other. And I mean this, they're engraved on His heart. There'll be with those here who may know something of their own backslidings and having to bear their own wound and grief in secret before the Lord as you loathe yourself. That promise is still sure. And lying with thee all waving to the end of the world, not one of His little ones shall ever perish. The least in the kingdom of heaven will ever perish. So He's about to ascend, and He has ascended now. So in heaven's court is a very merciful and a very gracious high priest in things pertaining to God. And having ascended into heaven, He now fulfills God's counsel. Right unto the uttermost, and even to that precious truth which is only known to the Almighty, and it shall come to pass that whosoever, the vilest of the vile, the most wretched, yes, and whosoever you may be in the experience of your soul, or in a hard condition, in fears, weaknesses and trembling, in fiery trials, while God seems to be silent, he may be hidden from your soul for a season. And you have to bear your own iniquities to the feeling of your own soul, yet he ever lives to intercede. Oh, he hears the groaning of the prisoner to loose them that are bound. Therefore he fulfills God's counsel that all who look to him, confess their sins unto him, wait upon him in every step of life's journey, poor and needy. He has covenanted to hear them in that promise. For it's an everlasting promise from all, from the eternal counsels of old, before they call, I will answer. Are they yet speaking, I will hear. Well, we have here then a divine commission to the apostles. There are not apostles in the earth today, but limited ministers. Ministers, yes, endowed with the Spirit of God and divine gift to go and preach to every creature, but with much lesser gift than the apostles. But the Word of God is not limited, it is not bound. The secret of the success of the gospel is not with the instrument, it is the Holy Ghost alone, who takes of the things of Jesus and reveals them unto sinners and babes. Ah, my dear friend, have you the witness of the Holy Ghost in your soul here this morning? That he is precious. I don't mean merely in your intellectual judgment, or mind this, you need him. Oh, you say, my sins, Lord. Oh, my hardness of heart, Lord. Lord, where have I got to? Oh, Lord, help me, I need thee. I'm so poor, I'm so wretched. I'm so undone. Oh, Lord, remember me in my low estate. Oh, my poor, weak being, my circumstances, that I know is rightly called divine providence over every son of Adam. Mercy in it, Lord, mercy in my lot, mercy in my days. Oh, show me thy covenant. Yes, my dear friends, God is faithful and intercedes in the presence of God. Well, have you the witness of the Holy Ghost in any way that the Lord has remembered you? Oh, there is something kindled and begun in your heart that's more than emotion, though you may be tempted. It is emotion only. You now know what you need, what you must possess, what you must have forever, what you need Christ to do for you. And you see your own limited capacity. And we turn to ourselves always, don't we, in our ruin. Oh, man is indeed ruined and he's lost, he's alienated, so he always looks to himself. But the Holy Ghost will bring these poor, helpless worms, oh, out of self, to look to him alone who fills his Father's throne. Well, now the ministers have a divine commission, though we are much smaller in grace, whether it be an itinerant ministry known as an evangelist, or whether it be in a more settled office as a pastor over a particular flock. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That is every opportunity. Among all sorts of people, as well as stated flocks, to all the world and to every creature. Ah, my dear friends, I believe the blood of souls rests much upon the conscience of the minister. And that didn't really rest there in its full sense, but we are solemnly conscious to declare the whole counsel of God. How solemn to withdraw indeed and to dissimulate or dissemble the truth of Christ to men with eternity before them. Without divine grace, you know what the ministry you'd like to have, and I'm just the same, smooth things, flatteries. But I know this, my dear friends, many will wake up in that day and find their garment is too short and they've no bed to rest upon. May the Holy Ghost bring you and I to the sure foundation of Him who is the angel of the everlasting covenant and indeed was fulfilled all things, to rest on Him, to rest on His Word. His Word cannot be separated from Him. He is the Word of God. I'll tell you how you'll know it. The Holy Ghost brings the Word of God to your heart and you know He's the Word of God then. Because in Him is life. And you'll know that life in your own soul. And you're a poor, helpless, trembling worm over the earth. And apart from His grace and His love and His mercy to you, you'll never get to heaven. You'll come short. You'll fail. You'll make shipwreck. You'll never get there apart from Him. And therefore there's an exercise in your soul. And many cries and many petitions to Him and Him alone. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Well, the Lord helping me, I must try and come a little to this precious gospel. But what this gospel really is, the substance of it, which is Christ, and the insistence of the experience of it by the apostle, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Ah, my dear friends, the world has never ever heard such a glorious song as the song of Christ. Never. It's the most glorious song that human ear has ever heard. And there's no greater glorious report than the truth of Jesus Christ, who forgives sins, who delights in mercy. Ah, whose word of grace is ever strong, the gospel. The gospel is good news. And it is good news from God. And it is good news, my dear friends, given to us in and through and by His dear Son. For, you see, the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Yes. In the first ministration, it was by angels. But God speaks to us in these days by His Son, He's made heir of all things. Oh, the blessed Son of God. And you know His work is saving, completely saving. And only His work is saving. I say, only the Holy Ghost's work is saving. Only Christ's work is saving. And Christ's work is the work of the Father. For He makes His divine eternal purposes known through His dear Son. You cannot know your heavenly Father outside of His dear beloved Son. You cannot receive anything from your most holy heavenly Father except in and through His beloved Son. He hath seen me. Have seen the Father also. The gospel. Ah, where can I begin? With the Lord Jesus Himself. there is a man, a real man, we sing in hymn 23. A man, there is a real man, with wounds still gaping wide in efficacy, blessing, salvation to the poor looker and to the comer, from which rich streams of blood once ran from hands and feet and side. Ah, as Hart says, 'tis no wild fancy of our brain, no metaphor we speak. This same dear man in heaven now reigns, who suffered for our sake. You know, you're sitting in the pews here this morning, and the poor sitting in the pulpit. Whether you've really had to cry over the years to this blessed man, some of you have, haven't you? And what a solemn place you're in if you never cried to that blessed dear man in heaven, the eternal Son of God. But Hart goes on, I'll just quote this, come then, repenting sinner, come, approach with humble faith, O what thou wilt. The total sum is cancelled by his death. And that, my friends, he expands on the fourth verse where he penned that human heart he still retains, though throned in highest bliss, and feels each tempted member's pains for our afflictions his. Now, you know your pains here this morning, maybe physical, bodily, mental in your mind, tortured by troubles and anxiety, and you feel your poor mind is being worn out by your anxiety and distress, the pain of your soul, the pain of your sins. There's also travail in exercise. There's a certain pain, even in exercise, to win Christ in this way. When you're under deep anxiety and exercise to do the right thing, what wilt thou have me to do? You're so unfit and unworthy to be a follower of him. And you find it so hard, though you made no intimations, yet flesh is weak. The spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. You know that in exercises, according to the will of the Lord, he feels each tempted member's pains. You're a member of his mystical body if you're joined to him in covenant love and union. And if you are, you'll be a poor sinner in need of all his virtue, all his love, all his mercy, all his grace to your soul. You'll need him. And you'll need him to save you. I think as you journey on, it gets more of a wonder if you'll really get to heaven. A wonder of wonders. Well, the Lord Jesus, he is the eternal Word and he's the eternal Son of God. And I can't explain the blessed, glorious Godhead of one in three and three in one. It's impossible. I know the word Trinity doesn't appear in the Scripture, but it's a word that sets forth that which is inexplicable. Inexplicable. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, one almighty God of love. Is it a sweet truth to your soul here this morning? I wonder. Can you say, Lord, yes, I'm not perhaps so tender as I would be, Lord, but I can truly say that as I look back now, that's been a most blessed truth to me. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, one almighty God of love. Oh, friend, you're eternally safe. If you ever worship the Son, as you worship God, because he means something to you, oh, you know something of mercy flowing your way and grace to you, and the effect is to worship him, answers to prayers, deliverances from the borders of the pit. Ah, he'll be precious to you. And I believe I can truly say, without flatters and deceitfulness, oh sinner, you're eternally safe. Yet, in the fullness of time, he who ever dwelt in the fullness, in the bosom of the Father, according to our most holy and merciful Father's goodwill and eternal purpose, he came in the flesh and became a real man, body and soul. Oh, my friends, he appeared in our very likeness without sin. And he suffered in the flesh, in his body. He suffered in his own soul, which was sinless. He loved God from the inner man of his spirit as a real man. He loved God and worshipped God and delighted in God, which you and I have never done. You may say, well, you said this last year, 3 years ago, 5 years ago. Yes, I did, no doubt. I hope I did anyway. To me, my friend, it's a tremendous truth. My poor mind this morning, longing to be spiritually minded and pray. Fitful prayers, fragmented prayers, distractions everywhere, sinful thoughts as well. Ah, we do need clothing and washing, don't we? Oh, we need one to stand surety, one to fulfill the holy law of God as a real man, which we're under covenant in the creation to do. Ah, we need God to pardon us and deal with our sins. And this is done in the gift of this beloved, wondrous Son of God. He appeared in our nature. And so he lived to the glory of God. And to the glory of God he died and received that dreadful stroke we're singing of in the poetry, the hymns this morning. We sang of solemn truth, didn't we? Yes, my dear friends, as he poured out his soul unto death. And not among the transgressors, the horrors, as we sang, that seized his soul. In measure, you know those horrors, don't you, some of you? The anguish of your soul. Will God consume you as you richly deserve? Will he have compassion and pity on you? You see, it's one thing to talk about trials, another thing to be in them. It's another thing to read as sitting in an armchair of a raging sea, a little ship, being tossed around like a cork and taking on water and going sideways in the big troughs and the crests, nearly in danger of turning over. We can sit comfortably by a fireside, can't we, and read of these exploits of mariners of old. Ah, when you're in the sea yourself, oh, the cry of the soul. No doubt many godly mariners have seen his wonders in the deep, when they had to cry to God for life, life, mercy, his appearing. Know the horrors of your sins. He said to my wife recently, my backsliding seems so far more worse than my unregenerate days. Why? Why, my friends, in those days we sinned in ignorance of the love of Christ. We didn't know it, never reached our heart. Though we were brought up in a godly way and under the commands of how we should walk, of course. And that's sin, isn't it? Because we don't. But it's the sin against love and light and knowledge. Oh, my dear friends, the turning aside, oh, the, as it were, the cooling off. Some of my younger friends may understand this. I didn't altogether understand it when I was a young man. I used to think the ministry used to labour that point too much, but they didn't. I know that now. It'll be a wonder for the Lord to bring us safely through and home. I think we journey on to learn more that we deserve the lowest hell, but his precious blood was shed. Well, my dear friends, the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all, marging the iniquitous all to meet upon him. Wounded, marging, tormented for our transgressions, tormented. Well, my dear friends, how often you, in a sad and solemn place, you're really troubled. You're troubled about your spiritual condition and where you are. You know the assaults of the enemy, but you know the plague of your own nature. You still possess this sinnership. Oh, didn't we sing in the opening hymn, which I'm afraid I've got forgotten the number now. It was 154, where he confessed that sadly, the sin still clings to us. Is it a grief to you? Can you honestly say before the Lord that the nature that you possess is a grief to you? If I can just find it here. But our justice cause to grieve is that thou wilt to us cleave. You see, we're not freed from its workings. It's still in our nature. It's still us in our nature. Faith relieves us from the guilt, thy guilt. But we think whose blood was spilt. All we hear or feel or see serves to raise our hate to thee, that our hate to sin, which must mean a hatred of self. For the apostle said, "For I am carnal, sold under sin. O wretched man that I am." He had no sweet thoughts about his Christianity, like, well, we have to be careful to ourselves, not being unkind to anybody. But it's solemnly true. How many Christians are sweet with themselves because they're nice Christians and doing this and doing that? And they use with self-confidence. They may think I'm trespassing, but I want to be faithful, friend. If you're being prepared for heaven, you really will need the Lord to forgive you, the Lord to bless you and to keep you, and to visit you once more, and to renew your days as of old, and oh, to revive his work in your heart and in your life. So it's not being sweet with ourselves. You'll hate your own life also, said Jesus. Not his kind providence, no. The Lord saved from that rebellion. A mercy, we're not in a well-deserved hell. Oh, but his kind providence spared you still and still on praying ground. That's providence and grace, isn't it? But oh, how he said that we cannot be his disciple except we take up our cross daily, deny ourselves and follow him and hate our own life also. You hate what you are. I just want to come this particularly the blood of the everlasting covenant, friend. It was shed once. Oh, that the Holy Ghost may really apply that truth in our hearts, even today, to soften our hearts. He died once. Once in the end of the world, he shed that precious, vital blood that made a full atonement. This is God's work. It's God's mighty act, you know. There's been many sacrifices in the earth. Noah offered a sacrifice that pleased God. It was from his heart. He thanked God. And God covenanted about the season to the end of time. And of course, there were Jewish sacrifices. And of course, heathens and whatnot make sacrifices of the fruits of the earth and all sorts of things. I was talking to a Sikh recently, what they offer to God, of course, but we must leave all those things. Ah, my dear friend, there's only one blessed sacrifice in which true, holy, strict, and blessed justice has done. It slew man. It slew a real man. The sword awoke against the shepherd of Israel. Oh, the shepherd of the flock, the dear Lord and Saviour. Yes, and who sins? The sins of that people the Lord denominated when we read, blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust, who looks to Christ alone without the works of the law. Oh, my friends who look out of self, this is the Lord's work to bring you and I again and again in our lives, in all our perplexing improvidence, as well as in the conflicts of your soul, and while you have a sinnership, and while death is upon the road, a bleeding Christ is all they plead and all that guilty sinners need. He died once. Oh, the sins, and you know the hell you deserve. How could Emmanuel really bear such things? The secret is lovely. Blessed, his righteousness sustained him. His righteousness, as the Almighty God sustained him. He had no personal guilt, but he received the deadly stroke of your love of sin and your entertaining it and your vain imaginations and all your rebellions and murmurings. Ah, my dear friend, that's why you now desire him. That's why there's cries in your heart for his mercy and reality and for his blessing. Well, you need feeding today. And I hope the poor ministry may feed some poor folks a little. And may the Lord do it. Ah, my dear friends, you see, our love of sin, our love of this world. Oh, how earthbound I know myself to be, how earthbound you are by nature. How you long for all the resurrection. Well, he died once and justice was done. God has seen the travail of his soul. He's satisfied. It means he's satisfied with everyone that believes in him and looks to him. He's satisfied. Their sins have been put away forever. Oh, their sins are washed away. Oh, there are people who are clothed in an everlasting righteousness. Much of our religion, well, it is, it's our religion until the Lord makes himself precious and real. Our best struggles is to be righteous ourselves. Do you remember those days, some of you, who know the Lord our righteousness now? Remember those days when you struggled to be holy and never got anywhere? But you knew something of an imputed righteousness to you as you looked alone to Christ. He was precious to you. He revealed himself. The Lord, our righteousness. And that's a complete righteousness, isn't it? It's not a spot and a blemish on the church of God. That's really true, you know. That's really true. There's not a spot or a blemish on the church of God. It's a precious gospel. For your vile sins in the past and your wicked heart today. There's not a spot or a blemish on the church of God. Even the backslidings are washed away. David's and Solomon's and Hezekiah's and Jehoshaphat's and Jonah's and Peter's and Thomas. And you and I, my friends, if we really fear him. You say, yes, I do need the Holy Spirit to sweetly confirm these things. The Spirit's work is a wonderful work, isn't it? It's very sure and certain. The Spirit brings us to know our need. You're convinced of your sin. You're convinced. You're reproved in your soul for it. When he, the Spirit of truth, will reprove, margin, convince, but of sin and of righteousness of judgment. So there's indeed a solemn sense of what we are. Now, notice the sacred terminology, the word of God, of sin because they believe not on me. And the apostle wrote, what is not of faith is sin. And faith is that looking alone and trusting to him alone, knowing our absolute ruin. And this is by the work of God in your heart as he pulls down all our wreck of righteousness and all our fair pretenses and all our deceits and all our lies. And oh, how that blessed Spirit lays deep in your soul that glorious truth. He's gone to heaven. Now, I'm not talking about the mere accepting the creed or the intellectual understanding that it's ascension day and he's gone to heaven and those things. It's this, isn't it? Hope is raised up. Being able to look out of yourself. The gospel. The Saviour lives, my friends, as he was yesterday, walking the earth and helping and saving poor sinners and hearing their poor prayers in all their deep griefs and all their woes. Oh, the blind, the lame, the lepers, the guilty sinners. Neither do I condemn thee. He said to the woman taken adultery, go and sin no more. Oh, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. It's a terrible thing is sin. But my dear friends, he came not to destroy men's lives, but to save men's lives. He's the same yesterday, now in heaven. He never sent any comer away. Now, the great thing is here today, are you comers to Christ? The scripture sets forth exceeding great and precious promise to you in all your coming to Christ. And he lives in the court of heaven, remembering the end of their conversation, Jesus Christ the same yesterday. Have your yesterday in the experience of your soul? I know the sense here, of course, in the epistle would be, as he lived in the earth yesterday. When he's not here, he's risen and ascended. Ah, but have you a yesterday in the experience of your soul? Would you solemnly declare you had never received answers to any of your poor prayers? If you have, then you're denying him to say it. And I don't believe faith will allow you to say it. The Lord give you a tender conscience, a mere tender conscience. Ah, it's about all my sins and all my shortcomings. Oh, yesterday, the yesterday of my life, his tender, loving kindness and goodness to the very chiefest and the vilest of sinners. He's the same yesterday and yesterday, my friend. Where you are today, yes, struggling. Do you live to prove when you come on the Sabbath day that no man can keep alive his own soul? You look back over the Sabbath, you've been coming here. The changes in your life and in your soul. Oh, the spiritual changes. Sometimes a sweet exercise and the Lord ministry came just where you were. Other times hope raised up. Other times you come in dead and you go out dead. He changes not. Oh, the sheep wander. Oh, the heart, my friends, that they possess in his dear sheep. They've got a nature that's deceitful of all things and desperately wicked, and they feel the plague of it. Ah, do you know sometimes when you have come in an exercise and the Lord meets you, blessed be his name, he meets poor sinners even in their guilt and perplexities. Sometimes you've had to go home with such a reproof in your soul. You know it's the authority in the word, isn't it? It's the Spirit's work. It's not the oratory or elocution or the learning and the swelling words of a minister. It's this plainly what the blessed Spirit lays in your heart. And has he laid anything in your heart concerning his beloved Son, the blood of Christ, a precious blood, cleanses from all sin, doubt it not, and reconciles the soul to God from every folly, every fault, our faulty life to the end. Now, Jesus Christ, though yesterday and today, where you are today and forever, that pathway unknown, that pathway we fear. The worries in the coming weeks some of you may have. Oh, how you fear you won't, and I fear this, the decline on Monday after Sunday, the decline. Many years ago, feeling so dreadful during the week, oh, so dreadful, can't describe it, God only knows. We have to bear our own bitterness before the Lord in private, don't we? It struck me so sweetly when coming home from work, you know, dear friends, those dear disciples, they received the first ministering of the Lord's Supper from the hand of Jesus himself, didn't they? Come a few hours, they all forsook him and fled. Where do you get to in the week sometimes, my dear friends? You hate your own life also, don't you? But they were his disciples. Though they forsook and fled from him, he didn't forsake them. Oh, they were loved with an everlasting love. Do you know that doctrine of the precious gospel? Jeremiah knew it. Jeremiah needed it in the sinking dungeon, didn't he? The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I've loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Now, can you trace it out? Loving kindness. Loving kindness. Loving kindness. Gentleness. Goodness from God to you. Long-suffering mercies. Your ill manners. Your unbelief. Your doubting spirit. Yes, maybe rebels here today. Your rebellious spirit. Your fretting and murmuring and complaining spirit. Yes, your worldly mind. With loving kindness have I drawn. And he draws his people all the journey through. Oh, he softens your heart. Oh, he brings you down to the grave to raise you up, my dear friends. Well, I've only touched upon a few things in the precious gospel. Something I want to emphasize, which I try to do as help from time to time. It is a real truth, my friends. He never will send any away that come to him. If he does, he'll lie. The mouth of the Lord has spoken it. You say, yes, but you don't know how bad my case is. Well, from where you are, maybe in a sinking condition, seeming ready to choke upon guilt, do confess to Christ. That's a coming to him. Confess to him. Tell the Lord how bad you are, but oh, plead his blood. And may this poor man be helped to preach the precious truth that precious blood that you plead, my dear friends, has been shed once. And you'll never pollute that blood, even though your wounds stink. I could take you to a day when I was stopped from pleading that precious blood because I knew he was that Holy One of God and that I would pollute it. I was so wicked. Such were the peculiar temptations of Satan and a guilty conscience. But no, my friends, I've lived to prove the blood of Jesus Christ uncleans all sin. And he says, doesn't he? Let not your heart be troubled. No, he doesn't mean that you won't be troubled, but he speaks to those in their troubles. Oh, let not your heart be overwhelmed and overgrieved and sinking in it. Look to me alone. Let not your heart be troubled. In your trouble, you believe in God. Believe also in me, that I am able to do this. Oh, that I have power to forgive sins. Believe in me. Believe in my name. Believe in my promises. Believe in those promises sealed by my precious sin atoning blood. Oh, believe that I lived and died. Oh, believe that I delight in mercy. I came not to kill and to destroy, but to raise up, to heal, to bless, to save unto the uttermost. Believe that I've gone to heaven. A prayer hearing, a prayer answering, merciful Saviour. Oh, my dear friends, that precious blood cleansed from all sin. And you know, in the time of the Passover, they shed the blood and they sprinkled the doorpost and the lintel. They kept the feast, you see. Well, this is the eating and the drinking, isn't it? Except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood. You have no life in you. In obedience, they slew the lamb. And they roasted it and ate it with bitter herbs and with unleavened bread. They kept the feast. Now, what is it to keep the feast in the Gospel day? It's for a poor sinner to plead Christ. The destroying angel was coming that night. They believed it. Do you believe death is on the road? This world's to be destroyed. You're so naked, so guilty, so dreadful. But in pleading Christ, the Holy Ghost make him precious to me and make him precious to you. A pleading Christ that all they plead, all that guilty sinners need. That's keeping the feast. The destroying angel passed over. No death there. The blood had been shed. In the Paschal shedding, the Passover shedding, and the blood of Christ has been shed once, my friends. Oh, which is shed for many, for the remission of sins, the putting away of their sins. He says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Well, I must leave it now, it's 5:02. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. The most blessed truth and awful truth, isn't it? I believe, dear friends, you'll live to write many bitter things against yourself, but in looking to Jesus alone, you must and will be blessed. Not because I said it, but because the surety is in heaven. Now this covers the whole of your providence, every detail of our lives. Well, I've only just scratched the surface of the gospel. What a deep life under. Do you know its touches and its softening in your, its softening effect upon your soul? Do you know arising within your breast to go after him? Let us ask the Lord's blessing upon the word. O Lord, do bless that which has been of the Holy Ghost here this morning. And please do pardon all things spoken wrongly. And can it please thee to command the blessing. And command it even as we journey home. And gather with us again this evening if it can please thee. We plead thy rich eternal blessing. We plead for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day amounted to £595, for which we are very thankful. And God willing, Mr. Rosier will address the Sunday School this afternoon, and Mr. Woodhouse is expected to preach on Friday evening with a collection for the TBS. And next Lord's Day, God willing, Mr. Broom is expected to preach if he's able. And the collection today is for the Oakington Building Repair Fund. Let us close with hymn 897. Ye poor afflicted souls, give ear, who seek the Lord but fear his frown. What things ye ask in fervent prayer, believing Christ will send them down. 897.
Thank you.
grace of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet communion and comfort of the Holy Ghost abide with us each, both now and for evermore. Amen.